What is true Christianity? True Christianity teaches what the Bible teaches because it is the inspired word of God without error. True Christians believe that everything the Bible affirms is true. Christians view the Bible as the ultimate guide for understanding and living life. In providing the Bible to us, God, working through the Holy Spirit, used ordinary people, having distinct personalities, to convey His message to humanity through the ages. This resulted in the compilation of the Bible. As was discussed in the previous broadcast series, Christians believe the Bible is the Word of God for several important reasons. First, the Bible contains hundreds of detailed prophecies concerning the Messiah, Israel, people, and nations that have been fulfilled literally in the history of the world. The Bible's perfect track record of prophetic fulfillment is clear evidence that the Bible is from God. Second, archaeology has provided resounding support for the history and peoples presented in the Bible. No archaeological discovery has ever contradicted the historical record presented in the Bible. Third, the Bible is supported by early and plentiful manuscript copies. Unlike other ancient books, thousands of partial and complete copies of Bible books exist, dating to within 50 to 100 years of the events that they describe. Fourth, the Bible, though it was written by nearly 40 authors in 3 different languages and in diverse locations over a period of 1,500 years, presents a unified picture of the glory of God and His plan to rescue fallen humanity. Fifth, finally, Jesus, who proved He was the Son of God through prophetic fulfillment, and the apostles affirm that the Bible is the Word of God. True Christianity flows from the Bible. So now let's consider the teachings of Christianity. Christianity teaches many things, but here is a short list of some of the most important things made clear in the Bible. The universe and everything in it was created by God through Jesus Christ. Humans are separated from God because all have sinned. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Christ is the Son of God. Christ died on a cross as payment for the sins of all people. Christ rose from the dead by His sacrifice. Christ reconciled all who believe in Him to God. All who repent and believe in Christ will be granted eternal life in heaven. All who believe in Christ should be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and follow the teachings of Jesus. The Bible, the Old and New Testament scriptures, is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Christ will return at the second coming. The destiny of all humans is heaven or hell. And now, let us delve a bit deeper into the main truths that we find in Scripture. There is one God, but three persons in that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Together they are known as the Trinity and sometimes the Godhead. Each person of the Trinity is God, and they are in perfect union with one another. God is the standard of all that is good. He cannot tolerate or condone sin in any way because it is completely contrary to His perfect nature. We say that God is holy because He is free of imperfection and evil. God is all-powerful and all-knowing. He is the author of all that exists. His love, justice, and truth are perfect. The three persons of the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, were present at the creation of the universe. They existed when the universe did not. God brought the universe into existence through Jesus. All that was created by God was very good, including man and woman. The first man and the first woman were Adam and Eve. All human beings who ever lived are descendants of Adam and Eve. God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to tend His creation. Adam and Eve were to be fruitful and to multiply, and they were to refrain from eating or from touching the tree at the middle of the garden. God gave Adam and Eve freedom to obey and disobey Him. Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan and they disobeyed God. Something changed drastically in them and in the world around them. Sin had entered the world and corrupted God's good creation. Adam and Eve were changed forever. They were permanently corrupted by sin and what appears to be a genetic change. The result was that sinful humanity was alienated from a perfect God who is the standard of what is right and good. Since all humanity is descended from Adam and Eve, all humans inherited a sin nature. It is a fact of human experience that sin nature shows up in different ways in different people and that there are no perfect people. God in His perfect justice cannot look the other way at the sins of humans, However, in his perfect love, he has made a way for humans to be reconciled to him. For God, the creator of the universe, the only acceptable sacrifice and payment for the sins of the world was his son's suffering and death on the cross. At the cross, God, in human flesh, paid the price for the sins of the world. All who truly repent of their sins and believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus will be granted eternal life in the presence of God in heaven. Sin is a word that many would prefer to avoid, but if we are honest with ourselves, we cannot avoid the conclusion that we fall far short of God's requirements. God has made his rules for how we must live our lives, plain in the Ten Commandments. Let us consider for a moment how we would stack up against God's Ten Commandments on our own merits. Think for a moment. Have you ever told a lie, even a little white lie, perhaps a lie of convenience, or to spare someone's feelings? It is still a lie. Have you ever fudged the numbers on your income tax? A few more deductions here, a bit less income there. Have you ever exaggerated on a job application or resume? No doubt there is no person who has not broken the commandment not to lie in some way. How about stealing? Have you ever taken something that did not belong to you? Anything at all, perhaps just a pencil, a paperclip, or a few coins? How about adultery? Maybe you are comforted by the fact that you have never physically cheated on your spouse, but Jesus says that if we even look on another person with lust, we have committed adultery in our heart. How about murder? Perhaps you are safe there, but once again, not so fast. Jesus says that if we are even angry with our brothers, we have committed murder in our heart. How about taking the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever done that? Most likely you have. What about having other gods before the Lord? Maybe we don't have idols made of stone or metal, but what about money, things, and activities? Do you ever put these things before God? Can any of us really say that we put God first in our lives all of the time? Have you ever skipped church, or just gone through the motions of getting there and sitting there, or avoided church completely? If so, you have not kept the Sabbath. How about coveting? Have you ever wanted something that belonged to your neighbor? Maybe you have been a bit jealous. We have all fallen short of God's perfect standard. I won't go through the rest of the commandments, but I think if we are honest, we have to admit that we have all broken the Ten Commandments many times throughout our lives. The breaking of God's commandments is sin, and sin erects a barrier between us and God, who is perfect. When we say we are a good person, we are comparing ourselves to the standards of the world, but that standard is far too low. We miss the point that the true standard is perfection. That is God's standard. And when we compare ourselves to it, it should be obvious that we have all fallen short of the perfection of God. The world's standards are not God's standards. We can never be good enough to be in the presence of a perfect God on our own merits. We love to hear about the perfect love of God, but we are less interested in the perfect justice of God. But ignoring it will not diminish it. A perfect God must judge sin. Good people will not be in heaven. Only righteous people will be in heaven. Only righteous people will be in heaven before a righteous God. On our own merits, we can never achieve righteousness. But thanks be to God, he credits righteousness to each of us when we repent of our sins and truly believe in his Son. The prophet Habakkuk tells us that God is so pure that he cannot even look on wickedness. And that is exactly what sin is. God has not just made some arbitrary standard in order to set us up for failure. No, he has given us his law because it is his standard. Since God is the owner and creator of the universe, his standard must be satisfied. God is the one and only standard of what is good, and what is good is what is consistent with his nature. Because God is just, he must judge sin. God cannot go against his own perfect nature. God's perfect justice demands that there be a penalty for sin. Some say, if God is so loving, there cannot be a hell. The problem with this assessment is that it overlooks that God is simultaneously perfectly loving and perfectly just. He can't give up on justice to show his love. Consider the hypothetical situation where someone breaks into your home and brutally murders your spouse while you are away. The responsible individual is brought to trial. The evidence is clear-cut and the murderer is convicted by the jury. At sentencing, the judge allows the murderer to speak before the sentence is read. The murderer begins to cry, says he is sorry, and promises never to do it again. The judge then reads the sentence. The murderer is to be set free, because he is sorry for what he has done. The judge bangs the gavel, and the murderer freely leaves the courtroom, while you sit there in agony, contemplating your broken life. No civilized people would ever stand for such an outrage. There would be cries for the removal of the judge from the bench. This is a ridiculous outcome to this tragic story, but it represents exactly how people often think God will interact with them. They assume, as I have said, that God is so loving that he will never punish them. They assume, like the incompetent judge, that God will just overlook their sins. The outcome is ridiculous because justice is neglected. No good human judge is going to let a lawbreaker go scot-free. The murderer has broken God's commandments and owes a great debt to society, whether he is sorry or not. Neither should we think that the perfect judge, God, will let us go scot-free when we break his laws. An all-knowing God cannot just overlook the sins we have committed. God's love and justice must both be satisfied in his dealings with his creatures. Each of us throughout our lives breaks God's law in many ways. If we are honest with ourselves, if we look deep inside, we will find some very unpleasant things. Can you imagine if every evil thought you ever had and every evil deed you ever committed flashed up on a giant screen for everyone to see? Can you honestly say that you would be proud of all of your thoughts and deeds? On our own merits, we can never achieve righteousness, but thanks be to God, he credits righteousness to each of us when we repent of our sins and truly believe in his Son.